Today, if you would, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Matthew, chapter number 8. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 28. And we'd like to think on the subject tonight of what demons really believe. Sometimes I think that it's the way I think, that I want to think that demons are always bad. They always are bad, but I think I want to believe that demons don't believe anything is right. But sometimes demons can believe what's right. They really can. They can hold to the truth, and yet they don't believe the truth. They can know the truth, but that don't mean they believe it at all. So let's look here in the book of Romans, and in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, and beginning in verse 28, Matthew 8 and verse 28, the Bible said, "When he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeses, they met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. As we begin, pray the Lord help us to be able to preach His Word tonight. Our precious Father, I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. Lord, I thank you that you've called me to this church. Lord, I thank you that you've laid the burden upon me to preach your holy Word your way. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight that as I deliver this message, that your name might be glorified and honored above everything. Lord, that we might see that you are really God. And Lord, that you are the one that holds all truth. And Lord, even the devils know that. Even the demons believe that. Lord, I pray that you might reveal this truth unto us tonight. Lord, to make it sure in our heart and our mind that many people, Lord, might know the truth, but that don't mean they believe it. Lord, I pray that you might help us to understand what your word is, what your will is, that we might always dedicate ourselves to doing what you want us to do. Just forgive us now for many sins. Watch over us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. What I want to bring this message about is just to show us that sometimes people that are wrong in the things that they act on, or it's that way for a reason, that they really don't believe in the power of God. They really don't believe that Christ is able to do anything at all. You see, some folks think that since they believe in God, that everything is all right with them. Some people really believe that. If they believe in God, some people think that everything is fine, that they must be saved. But really, if a belief in God is all you have, then you're no better off than the demons. Think of that. You need more than just that. I'm not saying that a belief in God is wrong, but look here at what I'm trying to say here. In verse number 28, the Bible describes these two men. There were two that were possessed with devils. And they were very, very fierce. The Bible said exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So they stopped anybody coming by. He stopped them all. Okay? But when Jesus Christ came by, they didn't stop him. He stopped them. All right? That's what happened. In verse number 29, Matthew 8, verse 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, and here's what the demons said when they saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? So they recognized immediately who he was. There's no record that anybody ever introduced the demons to Christ. I don't think they had to. I don't think they had to at all. I believe the demons would readily see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Notice what else. The Bible says, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You see, they are also recognizing that there is a punishment for sin that is coming. They know that there's a time for that punishment that's coming to them. They know that. They know and recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This belief that the demons have is a different belief than the Pharisees had. Because the Pharisees weren't really sure that he was the Son of God, even though he told them he was. They weren't really sure of that. But these demons knew exactly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many people have a belief just exactly the same way. Many people know that there's a coming judgment. They know that. You know, when I was lost, I knew there was a judgment day coming. It was evident to me that God was my eternal judge. I knew that. It was not that the preacher just preached it. It was because the Holy Spirit of God showed me that there is a judgment day coming. I knew that. I knew I was lost. I knew where I would face a bad thing. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible said in verse 29, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And so the devils here know that they know this, that there's a time of torment that's coming to them. They know that. I knew that too. I knew that hell was real for me. If nobody else went to hell, it didn't make any difference to me, but I was going. And that was of grave importance to me, whether I was going to hell or not. I did not want to go to hell or not. And these demons, they know that there's a torment coming, but right now they know they're not in it. The Bible says, or thou come hither to torment us before the time. So the demons know this. The demons know that there's a set time of punishment. They know that. And there is. We're living now upon this earth. We're breathing God's air. We're enjoying His sunshine. But there's coming a time of judgment. I mean, that's the way it is. The devils can know that all of these bad things are coming to them, but never trust Christ for salvation. And this is exactly what they're doing. They know that there's a judgment day coming. They know that condemnation is awaiting them. But they're not trusting in the Lord whatsoever. They know that they deserve it. Look in verse number 29. They say, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And so they know that judgment is coming. They know who's going to do it. They know that Jesus Christ will bring torment upon them, because they won't fit in His standards at all. They know that. They know that Jesus Christ is the one who will judge them. They're not looking forward to that at all. But right now, they're just in this demon-possessed man. There's two of those. You know, they rightfully expect Jesus Christ to be their eternal judge. It's amazing, isn't it? What a person can believe, what a demon can believe, and still be lost. It's amazing what they can believe. They can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says that. What have we to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of God. So they can know that. They can know that. But if they've never come to God with their sins and admit to God that they're a sinner and fully trust in Christ, then they're lost. I mean, that's it. All of those things I knew when I was lost. I knew them. I knew where I was going. Actually, when I was saved, you know, I told the Lord, you might as well kill me right now and get it over with, because I'm going to hell anyway. That's it. I mean, I don't have a... There's nothing I can do. If you don't save me, I can't do it. I tried everything in the book. I couldn't save myself. These demons, they believe in eternal punishment for sin. They believe in a set time for punishment. They believe that Jesus is the one that will punish them. They know all that. And yet, they are eternally doomed. You think that's something else there? Look in the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And verse number 6. We'll find something else about the demons here. Mark 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, talking about the demons here, this is another reading of the same passage, I think. The Bible said that this man that was demon-possessed, no man could bind him. He had not with chains. He had been often bound with fetters and chains. Verse 4. And he just broke those apart. In verse number 5, he was always in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. In verse number 6, the Bible says something very particular here. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. What do you think? Can demons even worship? Hello. Well, that's a good one. Can they worship? Yes. Demons can worship. Brother Berlin Heisel was preaching in his pulpit about demon possession and all the things that a person has when they're demon possessed. And I actually heard it's on a tape in those days. I got a copy of that and listened to it. And you can hear this woman in the far back part of his church that stood up and said that she knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And she was demon-possessed. She was out of order entirely. And she was told to sit down. And she would not sit down. And Brother Heisel said then to two of his men, he said, you go back and put her out. And they said, mm-mm. They're not going to do it. They would normally do what he said, but they wouldn't do that. Because he just talked about how strong they are and how they could break these chains apart. And they could do all kinds of things. I think they could see this lady tearing them apart. And they wouldn't do it at all. So demons can worship God. Don't think they can't. Don't think that a demon cannot worship God, because they can worship God. In verse number 7, and cried with a loud voice. It was a very loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? So this demon knew who Jesus Christ was. Sometimes we get things all mixed up. But these demons knew who Jesus Christ was. And they knew judgment was coming to them. He said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know, the demons here are recognizing that Jesus Christ has authority over them. And he does. He has all power. It's given him in heaven and earth. So he has all power whatsoever. In verse number 8, Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So Jesus Christ here is talking to the unclean spirit. He says, you come out of the man. You come out. And you know what he did? Look what the Bible said in verse number 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So somebody says, to be possessed with a devil is bad, but to be possessed with many devils is something else again. No wonder this man was in torments. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was a man living in the tombs. He dwelt among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. He could break a chain apart. I mean, that is stout. That is strong. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever... I can't break anything metal. I just can't do it. Sometimes I put metal in my little vise and I move it back and forth. Sometimes I take a hit with a hammer to start it. It gets a little weak. Then he bend it back and forth, break it off. Sometimes I take metal and cut it with shears, right? But this... He just took this chain and just tore them apart. I mean, the strength of this man when he was demon-possessed is unbelievable. No wonder everybody left him alone. I think I won't leave him alone too. Nothing you can do with it. But Jesus Christ, he confronted this man, and the man came out, and Jesus told the demon, you come out of him. And he said, what is the name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Many legions was in this demon-possessed man. Verse number 10. And he besought him that he would not send him away out of the country. The demon-possessed man, the demons are actually asking Jesus, don't send us away out of the country. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. So the conversation was going on there. What a lesson it really is. The Bible said in verse 11, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. We won't have to go away to another place. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He said, okay, you can go into the hogs. That's fine. And the Bible said the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the swine, the herd, ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000. Whoa. Now, this number, I think 2,000 swine, if we take one demon went into one swine, that means this man had 2,000 of these inside him. Well, that's a bunch of them. That is a bunch of them. No wonder that he was in the tombs. No wonder that he could tear these chains apart. No, the misery this man was under was unbelievable. No man could even come near him. It's unrecognizable to us at all that this could even be this way. I wonder, in verse number 4, the Bible said he'd often been bound with fetters and chains. I wonder this, who was the guy that bound him with fetters and chains? Would you want to be that guy? You want to sneak up on him when he's asleep, right? He'd been plucking, he tore him asunder. He got rid of him. Right there. the Bible said that these went into the swine. There was about a couple thousand of them. That's amazing. The Bible says that the swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus. So the people that were keeping the swine, they went out and told their owners what was going on. And then the owners came out. And what they saw in verse 15. And they came to Jesus. And what they can't miss this. And see him that was, used to be, possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Look at that. Boy, they were relieved then, weren't they? Whew. Boy, now their troubles are over, right? What does the Bible say? They were afraid. They were afraid of this power. The power of Jesus Christ. The things that he could do. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, Jesus Christ is not in the Jewish nation. Because the Jews, they wouldn't have a swine at all. That was an unclean animal to them. It was in Decapolis, further over a bit to the east of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. The demon-possessed man said, you're leaving. Don't be leaving. I want to go with you. I know you can't stay because these masters, they say, you got to go. But I want to go with you. And Jesus said unto them in verse number 19, he said, go home to thy friends. How many friends did he have? How many friends did the demon-possessed man have? Not a one. But Jesus Christ said, you go home to your friend because there's going to be some people that's going to want to stick close to you. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. I tell you what, and this man went and did as the Lord commanded him to do. The Bible said in verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And Jesus, when he went back to Decapolis, he was received then very, very warmly. But you know, demons are all over this world. They are inhabiting many people. If you're saved, you cannot be inhabited with the devil. But if you're lost, you can be. Understand that that's so. This man was lost, and when the demons were gone, then he was saved, and then he wanted to cling to Jesus, and then he was a good witness for the Lord. That's the way it is. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 16, at another case of demon possession. Acts 16. And verse number 16. Acts 16. And verse number 16. This is another case of demon possession. Acts 16, verse 16 says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That's important to understand that. Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Is anything wrong with that? There is something wrong with that, because this woman is of the devil. Remember that the demon-possessed man, we read to you in Matthew and in the book of Mark, he knew how to be saved. Just because a person knows how to be saved doesn't mean they are saved. It doesn't mean that at all. A person can think that they're all right when they're really not. And in this case, these demons, they were standing in the way of salvation. They were stopping the man from being saved. They were possessing him. And this little girl that was demon-possessed was telling the truth when she said, These men are the servants of the Most High God. Is that right? Hey, Paul was doing what was right. He is the servant of the Most High God. And she was right when she said that. In verse number 17, which show unto us the way of salvation. That is right. But the Bible says in verse number 18, and this did she many days. It wasn't just once. It wasn't just twice. It wasn't just three times. But it was for many days she did this. Remember that the reason she did it was because her masters were making money off of her. That's why it was so wrong. The gospel is free. Preaching the gospel is free. Your hearing it is free. It don't cost you anything. We've said many times before in this pulpit, and we'll say it again today. You don't pay me to pastor you. You don't pay me to preach to you. I do that because God has called me to do it, and I will do that. I appreciate the money you give to me. But if you decide not to pay me anymore, I'll still preach for you. Okay? I still preach the same way. I want to preach the same because I'm accountable unto God. That's it. I've got to do it for God's sake, not for your sake. In the book of Judges, there was a fellow there that decided he would be a judge to the people. He would follow them because they paid him. Not good at all. Not good at all. You need to do right, period. In verse 18, this she many days. But Paul, being grieved, okay. Paul was grieved about all this. He turned and said, he didn't say this to the girl, but he said this to the spirit of the girl. He said this to her spirit. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Notice the wording here. In verse number 18, the last little phrase there says, he came out the same hour. He. Who is he? The Spirit. It was a girl. The Bible says in verse number 16, it was a damsel that had the demon possessed in her. And so it's for a different person altogether. You'll notice in this that in verse number 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew him into the marketplace under the rulers. And you'll see in this that these men do nothing at all to the young girl. They cannot. There's no record at all that they said anything to her. They were just using her for their own benefit. That's exactly what they were doing. And when they saw that their hope of their gains, and that word gain is a plural word. It's not a singular word. It's a plural word. Their gains were gone. Then they attacked Paul and Silas. And that ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you that all of this whole thing was a farce as far as they were concerned, as far as these men were concerned. They did not believe in God. They didn't want God. They didn't like God. They drew Paul and Silas into the marketplace and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." This is an amazing thing that they say. It's amazing. In verse number 20, they say, "These Jews are troubling our city." Well, what were you doing? Before the demon-possessed girl, she was saying the same thing, right? And now, that their hope of gains are gone, then they're presenting all this before the magistrates as if Paul and Silas are wrong. It's kind of like, where's your money coming from? All they want is their gain. That's all they care about. Verse 21. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive." It was fine before, but not now. Neither to observe, being Romans. "And the multitude rose up together against them." And this is the way people are. People are just... You might as well understand this. People will follow whatever rings their bell. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't make any difference. If it's dawned this way, they'll run that way. If it's dawned here, they'll go this way. This is the way it is. Some people will just follow what is popular for the second. They really don't care. Whatever will give them a little bit of money for the time being or make them fit in with the crowd, that's all they care about. That's all they want. God wants us to be right with Him. And so in verse 22, "The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." The magistrates got them, Paul and Silas, and ripped off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. But they didn't know what God was going to do. They did not know what God was going to do. They charged the jailer to keep them safely. And the jailer, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Boy, they were not only locked up in jail, they were in the inner jail. They were in a jail inside a jail. And inside that cell they were in, they had their feet in stocks. So they were locked up three ways. The jailer was going to make sure they didn't get out. Then what did the jailer do? The jailer went to sleep. And what did they do? The Bible said at midnight, they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't a quiet worship service, was it? And then the Lord saved the jailer after the earthquake. After Paul and Silas told him, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." It's amazing how good God is. It's amazing how good He is. The next day, in verse 35, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Paul said to him, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. but let them come themselves and fetch us out. The sergeant went and told the people. They feared when they heard that they were Romans. This is amazing. How that people can make up their own rules when it fits their own purposes. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening here in the book of Acts. That's also what's happening in our country. People can make up their own rules when it suits themselves. But in verse number 39, they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Verse 39, they besought them, they pleaded with them, and brought them out. They themselves escorted them out of the prison. And then they desired them. We'd like for you to leave. We'd just like this whole thing be settled and it be all right. Okay? So that's what they did. You know, all of this teaches us what we can do even though we're faced with demon-possessed people. It shows us what we can do. We can always stand up for God. And we always ought to stand up for God. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we might think that demons are more powerful than we are. And they are. Demons are more powerful than we are. There's no doubt about it. Demons can cause a person to do bad things. I mean, you think of this demon-possessed man that actually was able to take a chain and tear it in two and get loose. Demons can cause much, can do much. But God can break it all down. Through the power of God, He can bless us. He can watch over us. He can take care of us, regardless of what happens. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't ever be surprised whenever there's opposition to the truth. The Bible has given to us what happened to Paul in the book of Acts when he faced demons. Paul wrote to the Corinthians telling them that they would also face demons. Do you think that we are exempt? Do you think that we don't face any demons today? There are demon-possessed people. No doubt about that. Some of them are not bound with chains. Some of those people are not tied up with instruments of iron at all. Some of them are loose. And some of them are doing all kinds of wicked things. And if we're not careful, they will beguile us. And we don't want to fall into their trap. Notice what the Bible says here. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number, number 11. It says, "Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them, which is our occasion, that wherein they may they glory, that they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Boy, understand that that's so. Paul wrote about that many years ago. And if we think that everybody that preaches a part of the gospel is of God, that is wrong. I mean, that is wrong. I know that sometimes a person can present part of the gospel and in his preaching. I know that's so. But a person that does all that all the time, something's wrong somewhere. The Bible said that these are deceitful workers. They are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. So he's wanting people to understand that everybody that presents the gospel or part of the gospel is not, may not know all the gospel. Jesus, back up on that. I'll start again. I'm thinking of Acts, I'm thinking of Genesis chapter number 3, where that Satan presented what was a damnable lie to Eve. It was a terrible thing that he said to her. When he said to her that all you have to do is just to eat of this fruit. It's good for you. It'll make you wise. And the devil is doing the same thing to us today. He is out saying that you need your freedom. You need to do things your way. You know what I really need to do? I need to recognize that I'm a slave to Christ. I need to recognize that. That I belong to the King. I belong to a greater than me. I need to recognize, I need to know that. That I need to do what God wants me to do. I'm His servant. He's not mine, but I'm His. Satan is doing exactly the same thing today that he's always done. Satan presents a rosy picture, especially to young people, of drinking. But Satan never shows the end result of drinking. He shows people drinking alcohol, liquor, and getting drunk, but he doesn't show the drunk in the gutter or the person that's lost their home, the family that's broken up. They don't show that. They don't show the scene of what happens at a drunk driving accident or on purpose, whatever you want to say about that. They don't show that. Satan makes young people think that if they could just get loose of parental authority, if mom and daddy would just not tell me what to do, I will do things my own way. But they don't show this same person growing up. They don't show the same person as they get into all kinds of meanness and all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of things that are evil. Satan tries to convince us that we need no authority over us. But all of us have authority over us. All of us have some kind of authority over us. And God wants us to understand that that is good. Satan pictures a dark picture about holy living as well. He says that you can't have any fun if all you do is go to church and listen. You got to hear this boring preacher preach for 35 or 45 or an hour or whatever. And they just bored me to tears. That's what Satan wants people to think about. The devil wants you to believe that what the Bible says is so out of date. It's an out of date book, right? You got to be a preacher to understand it. Learn it anyway. It's terrible. You know, God wants us to be His kind of people. God wants us to be right with Him. In closing, let me read this one scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22. A short little verse. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That simply means to stay away from it. That's what it means. To stay away from all appearance of evil. Think about it. Satan's attacks are always coming. They're always coming. They're always prevalent. They're always in front of us. But don't be discouraged and serve God as much as you can. Don't let the devil take your mind away from where it ought to be. But let God teach you, let God show you what you need by reading His Bible, by understanding what He's saying in His Bible. You know, there's some parts of the Bible that are hard to grasp. They're hard for me to grasp. But I find this, that the more that I dwell upon that particular place, the more that I begin to understand what He's talking about. The book of Job was a book that confused me for many years. But the book of Job is a plain book. When you read the book of Job, if you'll read it and understand who's doing the talking. Because when Bildad says something, you might take it and you might not. When Zophar says something, you might take it and you might not. That's the way it is. But when Job says it, you can pretty well believe what he's saying. That's the way it is. Satan is the deceiver. He wants us to follow him. Satan wants to cause us to fall away from doing what we ought to do. Satan does not want that, want us at all. Satan does not want us to follow God at all. Well, one of these days, though, it's all going to end. Satan will have deceived some people into eternal destruction. Some people will follow Satan into eternal destruction. There's no doubt about that. They'll think that they're going the right way, but they're going the wrong way. I pray today that you won't be. I pray today that you might, if you're lost, that you might seek the face of the good Lord. You might come before Him and recognize your sins, trust the Lord, repent that you're a sinner, and let the Lord deal with you in your life. That's our prayer for you. Know that Satan is real. And as I speak to you young people, especially as you grow up, don't ever think that just because you think a certain thing that it's the right way to do it. It may not be. You need to check it out with the Word of God and examine your life by the Word of God and let God deal with you. All right? Okay, we're done there. So